Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we are going to be continuing our series more, our series on the means of grace. And so we've kind of had a joke that grace is when we get something we don't deserve, and it's typically from somebody who has that authority. So for us, it's God. So when we get that unmerited, that undeserved favor of God, it's grace. But then we've also said a better way to understand that is if you have been so bad for your parents before bedtime, and mommy still gives you chocolate milk anyway. Those, I think that will sell. Like, those need to be t-shirts, right? And then somewhere our logo needs to be on it, and it's, heard first at or reported first at. And then we'll have to give royalties to the Moss family. So we looked at prayer, right? We looked at prayer. Then we looked at the Lord's Supper. Last week we looked at searching the Scripture. I hope you're enjoying your 30 Days with Jesus reading. It's kind of weird, right? It's kind of weird to be reading about the birth of Jesus and Thanksgiving's not even got here yet. But it's just the way that it is. And now we're seeing his ministry progress. He's called his disciples. He's been betrayed in his hometown. And I think I'll stop there. I don't want to go any further because I'll give away. That was yesterday, right? Okay. I've already done today, but I didn't know where to. All right. So today we're going to pick up with one that I think we are probably least familiar with as the modern church. Fasting. And so before you give up on today's message that God wouldn't speak to you through this, let's give it a fair chance. So today's scripture is going to be from Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. That's going to be on page 787 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to read Matthew 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. So if you can and are able, I invite you to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson. And Jesus is already teaching here, so we pick up. So it doesn't tell us that Jesus is teaching, but he is. And in verse 16, he says this, "And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may your presence be felt in a powerful way. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Amen. So have you ever had something really important that you needed to do during the day? At some point, right? It didn't matter when you did it, it just needed to be done. But then other things kept getting in front of it on the to-do list. Do y'all know what a to-do list is? We got some listers in here because I've seen some of y'all's list. Honeydew works the same way. Thank you. I'm so thankful I wasn't the one that said that. What he's implying is the list that women leave that they make their honeys do instead of enjoying the peace, calmness, and football of a Saturday. That's what he was trying to say. I just wanted to clarify for the people online. They didn't get the context, but now they know what we were talking about. But somehow, every time I have something like that that I know that I got to do, but it's not quite big enough to get on the list, I go to bed that night, and guess what? I didn't think about it. I just got so busy, I didn't think about it. Have you ever forgotten that you really are going so busy, so fast, that you can forget to do simple things like drink enough water, eat the appropriate amount of food, or even take a medication at a specific time? It happens, doesn't it? We get so wrapped up and we know like we're supposed to consume X number of ounces of water a day to keep our bodies healthy, and the majority of us fall way short of that because we don't even think about it. We're in such a hurry and we settle for convenience or caffeine. But they have to use water to make coffee. That's my excuse. Have you ever started your day off and you really want to make an effort to seek God's will for that day, for a situation? You're really going to talk to Him about it, only to find yourself at the end of the day going, sorry, I just got too busy. But fasting is defined as to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. We read this, it says, in a general sense, fasting can be a number of things. Abstaining from food or drink, or from food only, or abstaining from certain foods for a limited period of time. In the Christian sense, fasting is abstaining from food as a spiritual discipline, a means of grace. Most Christians accompany fasting with prayer. Many Christians view fasting as a way to intensify their prayers and to increase their effectiveness. Some believe that by denying our physical hunger for a time, our spiritual sensitivity is heightened or enhanced. So essentially, fasting makes prayer more powerful and can also help us hear God's voice more clearly. Now, I think it's important to say, I believe wholeheartedly in fasting. But I also understand that there was a time in my life when I was a young person, and I remember StarTex United Methodist Church was doing a fasting. It had to have been during Lent. And I wanted to participate. And my dad pulled me aside and he said, son, you're playing two sports. And you just cannot go X number of days without eating. It wouldn't be safe. But God says, son, so why don't you fast from something else? And it didn't occur to me that there were other things that I could fast from. See, for me, it's food. That's what drives my fasting. That's what makes fasting powerful for me. For some of you, it might be your cell phone. Social media is one she lists in the books. For some of you, it may be TV. And so for a 24-hour span, you just got to say, I'm going to cut the TV off. And every time I have the urge to go click that television on, I'm going to stop, and my prayer is going to come from that. Does that make sense? I don't want anybody to think, well, Andrew's saying God says to make myself starving, even though my doctor has said this pill has to be taken with food, and if I do that, my health's going to find what works for you and works in your health situation. It can apply to all of us. Jesus, I'm very thankful. He doesn't really go into a lot of detail, but he tells us what we should do. And then if we should do it. But he says, when you pray, did you notice that earlier in the scriptures? Y'all remember that from when you pray, right? Before that, I think, anybody, you still got the doors open? Somebody pull it up. I think in verse 2, he's talking about giving. And he says, when you give alms, what is it? Yeah, what verse? 2. I studied my passage, Michelle. And I think verse 5 says, and when you pray, and then verse 16 says, and when you fast. Jesus is combining these three things of giving, praying, and fasting. in the middle of the probably the most important sermon ever given, he's included these three things. He doesn't leave it optional, does he? But he says, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites. Hey, brother. Hey. 6 more hours, you know. That's what the people online aren't going to get that one. But that's what some of the Jewish elites were doing. Man, they would make themselves look weak and famished because if I could tell from a distance that Brother Jerry has been fasting, man, he must really be righteous. And if I could tell from a distance that Eric has been fasting, man, he's really righteous. But if from a distance I can look at Chris, and Chris, he's not fasting. He's got a smile on his face, and nobody's skipping a meal smiling. But Christ tells us to be more like Chris, doesn't he? He says, put oil on your face, wash your face. Make it look as though you feel good, that you're energetic, because it's not for other people. It's for God alone. And he says the same thing about giving. That's where we get the whole, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing, because then we don't have the opportunity to go around bragging about what we give to. He does the same thing with prayer. Don't go around boasting with prayer in the, you know, in the temple court, screaming your prayers and being all righteous. Go and do it in private. And so this makes it really hard, because when I fast, I tell certain people that I'm fasting. I don't post it on, so you'll never see me post on social media. Andrew's fasting these days. Please don't invite him to lunch. It's not what, but I do have a handful. And I'll tell them the very specific reason that I'm fasting, whether that's a sin in my life or I'm seeking God's direction in an area. And I'll tell them to do one of two things: join me in fasting, or pray for my fast. And then I trust them enough that I leave it alone. And I know they're not going to tell anybody. Does that make sense? So there is a private element to that. But there can also be some of that accountability. So when John Wesley preached a sermon on fasting, he listed all these reasons why. And some of them, I just took three. Says a personal experience in fasting through deep affliction because they are overwhelmed with the sorrow of their sin and a strong appreciation for the wrath of God. You see, I don't think we've lost that in our modern church, the wrath of God. That God is just to determine how he wants to determine. But it's sometimes it's that overwhelming sense that here is this holy God who loves me, and here I am, and fasting helps us reconnect to that love. Many of those who now fear God, he said, are deeply aware of how often they have sinned against him. And so sometimes it's just the awareness of our sin, and that fasting humbles us before God. And he says, a fifth, and the most important reason, and I will agree on that, this is the most important reason for fasting, is that it helps us to pray. Especially when we set apart larger portions of time for private prayer. And so I feel like you need to hear this, and this is, please don't ask me about my fasting time unless you're really looking for guidance on how to fast. But I am the one with the microphone, and I'm supposed to try to lead y'all. And no wonder it took 40 years to get. Only those that's read the Old Testament got that one right. But it's in those moments, and I don't. This may come as a surprise to y'all. I'm the type of fellow that gets hungry a lot. Now I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take that as a surprise and not an implication. And I used to think it was so silly. So when my belly growls, I'm going to pray. That's how I used to really approach it. But it's when I started adding scripture to it that it changed it. So now when I start to feel hungry, I start to want something, I can remember Jesus saying, it's not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord that we live on. And so I still eat. I just eat on the Word of God. See, we can still fill those voids through our prayers and through Scripture when we're fasting. Don't just get miserably hungry and then go, God's going to do something good. No, He's not. Not if you're not going to Him in prayer. And fasting also helps me to feel weak. And it's when I am weak that I realize how strong He is. And so whatever it is that creates that sense of weakness for you. See, sometimes our sense of weakness comes and we don't want it. It comes from the news of a doctor's appointment or from a workplace or even news from a friend that we didn't expect. And now all of a sudden we feel weak, right? But where do we turn most of the time in those weaknesses? We turn to God. So when you fast, if you become weak, which you will, turn to God. So he goes on and he tells us how to fast. Wesley does. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's, if you're going to fast, make sure your eyes are focused on Jesus and not what you're doing. He says, two, let us be aware of thinking we will merit anything from God after fasting. That's what this lady goes through her whole book saying. You're not going to get anything from God just by doing these things. It's where your heart is when you're fasting. Is it humbled? Then it will be exalted. But if it is exalted, you're going to be disappointed. He says, humble your souls as well as your bodies. Join, and I love this, fervent prayer with fasting, pouring out our souls before God, confessing our sins, humbling ourselves under His mighty hands, laying open before Him all our needs, all our guiltiness, and all our helplessness. So I want to take all that, and I want to give you two very theologically sound, size more reasons why I think you should fast. Might be the beginning of a great book, so I don't laugh too much. Number one, it's because Jesus did it and told us to. And because of the personal testimony that I could share with you about how changing my view of fasting has allowed me to see God work miracles in ways where I didn't think I would ever see the answers. So the ultimate goal of fasting is to force us to slow down, to humble ourselves, to see our need for God's will, and to feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, preacher, that sounds great, but I don't really have anything to fast about right now. I'm glad you said that. I would be honored if over the next 2 weeks you would join me in fasting for the Kingdom Kids. Our children are going to get their invitations today. And for the first time ever, at least at this church, they're going to have their own worship service geared towards them because we've decided we want them to have Bible knowledge, but we would much rather them grow in who they are in Christ. We would much rather prepare a child who is 6 or 8 to be a disciple in high school and a disciple in college than we would for them to come back when they're 30 and win the Bible trivia game at VBS. No knock to anybody who still has their trophy. Okay? And then if you don't want to fast over that, If you want to fast for things for our church, the first one would be for God to be glorified for what we do in this place. The second would be for God to be glorified for what we do outside of this place. And then maybe you want to spend some time fasting next week over your 2019 goal for this church. Because next Sunday we're all going to submit a goal. Those of us that are here, we're going to submit a goal for 2019 where we want to see God move in a big way. We did that a couple years back, right? And God checked off almost all of them. And then some of them, I think we realized that wasn't God, that was us. And so we let them go. If he did it once before, he said he is faithful to do it again. Y'all know when I pull it up like this, I'm getting serious. It's a microphone trick. I want to end with these words. In celebration of discipline, Richard Foster observes, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to our two true disciples who long to be transformed into the image of Christ. We cover up what is inside us with food, and I want to include other things. Oh, and other good things. She even included it for me. But in fasting, these things come to the surface. John Wesley taught us that spiritual transformation or growing in holiness not only empowers us for a more meaningful life individually, it also fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we can more fully engage in God's work of making all things new in this world. Amen. So my prayer is that your fasting would lead us to God's grace. And that it would allow us to be so full of the Holy Spirit that we can truly continue to be who we claim to be, people who are becoming and making disciples for the transformation of the world. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.